If you like to talk to tomatoes,
if a squash can make you smile,
if you like to waltz with potatoes, up and down the produce aisle.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, keeping it real in a new holiday season with Valentine's Day, I guess, sort of with this.
We're
this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stecanus.
Boy, I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito, and Ray now has to trick Chan like someone putting a dog's pill inside a slice of bologna in order to start this show. He has to go to all manner of trickery so that Chan doesn't ruin his intro.
The key is I have to make Chan not want to do it anymore through wearing him down, and then I can start the show.
You have to crush his will to live.
Chan, not crush your desire to do the show. We already know where you stand with that. It's crush your desire to ruin my intro.
Right. Just baby steps.
Baby steps in the elevator. Baby steps down the hall. You got this. Anyway, this week we are talking about, I can't believe we haven't done this before, VeggieTales, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing it. Chan insisted this was a Valentine's Day episode. I'm not sure.
It showed up on like the list of Valentine's Day specials. I'm like, hey, I guess it's time to do a VeggieTales. And the entire time I'm like, they're not even in love. This is not like, I was expecting like some sort of like Romeo and Juliet. It seemed like Romeo and Juliet at the beginning.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
I sort of forgot that these are all based on biblical tales.
Yeah.
And
yeah, sure.
Even then you figure like, sure, I'm sure there's some sort of fucking Romeo and Juliet thing in there somewhere. Cause like, Unrequited Love. That's one of the main stories.
You were waiting for the zucchini squash to drink some poison?
I was waiting for the zucchini squash to fuck that underage. What is she? What is she? They call her a rhubarbarian. She is not a rhubarb.
No, that was a wonderful pun, though.
I wasn't even sure he was just, like, he looks like a pickle. So
he's a pickle.
I was trying to figure out, is he a cucumber? Is he a zucchini? Like, what's his deal?
I mean, what? You don't make fucking pickles out of zucchinis.
Yeah, that's but gross. I mean, he has like kind of a little bit of a butt. A zucchini in a cartoon just looks like a pickle with a big butt.
Oh, God. It's been so long for Gina at this point. She's having some thoughts about a pickle in a VeggieTales cartoon. Oh, no. Gina, we come on. You got to fix this.
Ew. These characters are the if it was possible to be the anti-sex, I mean, I realize it's a children's cartoon.
Yes.
But they are so, given that it is an episode that's supposed to be about romance.
Yeah, allegedly.
Theoretically.
They are the most anti-sex things I've ever seen.
I mean, it's not even like a weird puritanical thing where like sex is bad. There's just no inkling that a sexual thought has ever crossed the minds of any of the creators of this thing.
Well, no, that tracks.
Mother-in-law is a little bit saucy. Like if anyone is saucy in this, it's the mother-in-law who knows that she's sitting on a prize pig. And is sure, like, I'm going to pimp this unknown vegetable out.
That was one of many things that deeply disturbed me. I'll go ahead and say it. I felt like Ray watching this thing. I could not keep track of the plot. It made no sense to me. The characters were just baffling. Like from the beginning, like Rue Barbarian, like be fucking rhubarb, or does it have something to do with the pies in this war? Is it pies, like it's just a pun? Guns.
It's just a pun.
I would think you'd be all on board. Yeah. You love puns. I actually kind of thought like Rue Barbarian is clever for, it's for no, this. Here's the thing.
It's a good wordplay if you're looking for something based on a vegetable. But if you call someone a Rue Barbarian, they should either be a barbarian or a rhubarb.
I mean, some combination of the two. What the hell is she?
My closest guess is an upside down green onion.
What?
You got a fat old butt.
She's
apparently
pink. Isn't she pink?
No, she's green.
She is green.
Why?
I couldn't look it. I just gave up. I could not tell.
Someone drop a photo in the chat. Drop a link to her dating profile.
All right, hold on. I got a photo coming for you in just a sec.
Chat. See, that's a pun that makes goddamn sense. Anyway, this is all.
I'm not going to say how I felt about this cartoon because I do think that someone will be a contrarian no matter what. I was deeply, deeply disturbed by their lack of arms and how this terrible animation style dealt with that. Like when they are handing things to one another,
just floating in air.
Very disturbing.
So
I'm shocked by a lot of what I'm hearing right now. It was a little rough getting started, but then I felt like I had a very good handle on what I was watching. And that never happens where I can safely say that. And Robert Clark Chan was lost the entire time. So VeggieTales is officially the anti-Legion, which I'm very excited to say.
I guess she does kind of look like an upside down. I apologize, Chan. She does kind of look like an upside down green onion.
Well, sort of, except that she's got like a plump bottom as well. So she's like a weird ass dumbbell.
Oh, I think that might be just her dress. Oh, no, you're right. It's sticking out. I don't know what the hell that is. I also don't know what her mother-in-law is. Like a plum? Is she a plum?
She's a turnip. Like,
oh.
I'm being, you know, generous. But yeah, yeah.
It's like a battle of the turnips versus the green onions. I could see that war.
They're all root vegetables, so that's
yeah, exactly.
And they're fighting over duck iconography, of course.
I don't know.
So according to Wikipedia, and this is just wild, VeggieTales has been around for over 30 years, and it's still going.
When religious people find a thing, they cling on to it like it is Jesus dying on the cross.
Man, they will cling on to that thing for going on 2,000 years now.
They feel like there's not much media for them. That's how they feel, whether or not that's true. So that's why, like, you know, I mean, it was a joke on South Park that it's easier to make an album go platinum if you're a Christian rock artist.
Yes,
because they feel like they don't have enough stuff for themselves. And when there is something that's like, hey, folks, this is for you. That's why Jim Caviezel still exists.
I mean, he's a very talented actor. I'm just not going to take anything world. Away from crazy.
Yeah. As soon as you take away his attention, he withers to dust.
So we do have the answer to one of our questions, though. This, according to Wikipedia, the series stars Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber.
Yeah.
So yep. Duke is a cucumber.
Okay. Okay.
Leading a variety of fruit and vegetable characters as they retell stories from the Bible and parody pop culture. My favorite line from this here, a little bit further down, while most of the VeggieTales characters ended up being voiced by Visher and Naraki, who are the two people who invented it, they also cast their friends and family to do voices in the early episodes due to nepotism. Just says it right there on the Wikipedia. I love it.
I love
due to
that.
The fact that Christians love child labor.
Oh, huge fan.
I mean, you can tell that this is not professional voice actors, although I guess they've been doing voice acting for longer than
yeah. You say that, Gina. They've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, you're right.
And guys, I'm going to go ahead. I will show my cards first. I kind of really liked this
a lot.
I thought a lot of the jokes worked. I thought a lot of the puns landed. I was able to follow it. I stayed interested the entire time. It was silly, and I thought it was smartly written. I will just put it out there.
I'm going to wait for Chan.
And I am shocked. I'm shocked that I'm saying that. I was coming in expecting to just destroy this, and I didn't hate it.
Normally, when we'll talk before the podcast starts, upwards of 2 hours.
Often, yeah.
And this time we started out pretty quick, but even then I said at the beginning that I fucking hated this thing.
No, you didn't.
was
Chan, just because you didn't understand it doesn't mean you should hate it.
Here's the thing. My mind is blown right now because I should not be shocked that the white dude on the podcast was like, hey, easily digestible Bible stories. I enjoy this. And that the Church of the Satanic Temple member of our podcast is like, I didn't understand it. I don't want to understand it.
Willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. I was going in clean. I was like, I understand that this is like an indoctrination tool, but I'm just going to let it be what it is. And
is that why did Ray get indoctrinated? Because this is made for children to be indoctrinated. Boy. So I think Ray got indoctrinated.
You guys, and an aside, I'd really like to talk to you about where we're going. I have some thoughts I want to share.
Help me, Jeebus.
Honestly, you know, Duke gets us.
I am now going to give my opinion. Remember, the internet sides with Gina, even when you two don't. So the thing is,
I'm waiting to see if I'm right or not.
I enjoyed this more than I thought I would.
Thank you.
But I will say that bar was so low. I was expecting to loathe it.
Yes.
And there were some good jokes in there. Like,
yes,
like
there were.
Barbarian. The first time that those like nuns or whatever they are shout that at the upside down green onion lady, I was like, did they just call her a rhubarb barbarian? Like, that's funny.
That's good.
And then like at some point they do a who's on first joke. And I was okay.
I mean, it was so clunky.
You know what? I don't care. That they are introducing a classic bit to children. Maybe that's the only Catholic approved joke. I don't know that. And that and the Hot Pockets guy who I love.
Wow, Jim Gaffigan, gotta love him.
I mean, I love him. I could listen to his food-based jokes all day. But I like there were some sort of like wacky sequences. I will say there were ingredients there that I didn't hate. The story itself, yeah. I mean, spoiler alert, it ends with like the two characters getting married because the guy is like, now we're family, and she's like, oh, we are, and then it like abruptly cuts to their wedding.
Yes, that was amazing.
So I agree, clunky, but honestly, like they were trying, and some of those jokes succeeded.
Yes. Thank you. I am vindicated.
I mean, you know, like it wasn't the fact that they were both like clumsy and keep butting heads. It was annoying, but they were clearly trying to do like a meet cute thing. And I was like, I get what they are doing. Yeah. Take us through it. And I will say what I absolutely hated. No arms freaking me out.
Yep. Well, it began very confusingly. I'm used to getting like an intro, a song, a sequence.
I love that both of you were confused by this cartoon for 5-year-old Christians.
Well, Gina, you have to understand, I'm coming in cold. I don't know anything about what I'm about to watch. My first line is, let's go get churchy. And then it opens with like a historical reenactment of the Pie War. And it says, we're telling you the story of Duke and a princess named Petunia. And then there was a bunch of like this war happened, and the war really doesn't play into the story very much at all.
No,
realistically speaking. I mean, here's the thing. Again, Pie War is a clever, is like funny.
It like, is. And it's a way that they can murder people with like, pies.
The fact that the weapons are all like weapons of war, but with a pie element, like when they're jousting, there's pies on the end of their jousting sticks. Like, that's kind of funny.
Here's the problem. Yeah. This is my central beef with it is, you know how when you play Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples with civilians?
Yes, and they're I hate like, it.
Take the most far out nonsensical thing and slap it down like Charmander to fill in a blank.
Yeah.
And they do it every single round. And it's just they laugh because it's disconnected and it does not follow.
Okay, which is sure.
a perfectly yeah. acceptable joke construction, but if that's the only thing you do, it's just fucking lazy.
Yes, and I agree. I like the way I look at this show is if my niece and nephew, when they were 10, were like, hey, we made a show, I would be like, oh God, okay, I'm sure it's going to be great. And if they showed me this, I would be like, holy crap, good job, you guys.
Yeah. Wait, you're saying that your level of quality control here is if it's as good as a fucking 8-year-old could make it, then it gets a pass?
Yeah. I just think holy like, yeah, shit. I was not going into this as if it was a very popular show. Like, if this was, you know, something... if it was like something that was like paired in the hour with Bluey... And this was what it showed, I would be like, what the fuck did I, like, what did I just watch? But I went into it assuming that it's just like one religious dude in his house drawing vegetables.
Yeah, I came into it figuring, my comparison was Davy and Goliath. And so I came into this being like, oh boy.
I was absolutely grading on a curve here. And I was like, Rue Barbarian? Some like random dude in his garage came up with Rue Barbarian and the Great Pie Wars. That's a fun. Yeah. That's a fun thing.
I need context for a joke. I need it well constructed and for it to fit in. Like if there are, it's like they did the if this, then what else? Mm-hmm. If this, then what? Except they only did if this and then stopped. And there's no continuation. There's no continuity. There's no why are the pies weapons in this world? Why do vegetables eat fruit? Like none of these things make sense with each other.
Wait, what would you expect sentient vegetables to eat? I'm just curious. If you were writing the show,
animals. Why would you eat That's your horrific. Brethren?
I mean, we are animals who eat animals. You think that vegetables wouldn't eat vegetables?
Yeah, because they're eating
fruit. They're not eating vegetables. They're eating fruit. That's very different. I mean,
it's assumed that they also eat vegetables.
I mean, hey now, you know what I mean.
That's the problem with anthropomorphic things is that, you know, as soon as you get into like, well, what do they eat? Obviously, they're eating non-sentient versions of themselves, which is like eating a monkey. Which happens, but it's not things that, you know, most of the world does. Because
there
weird.
Are bugs that eat other bugs. There are fish that eat other fish. Yeah, what are you talking bugs. About?
They don't fish. Don't have faces. I'm talking about if you can talk, then there's a standard that I have set for you. And if you cross that, you're a fucking cannibal.
Sharks have faces. They eat fish.
Thank what? You. Yeah. Yeah, look, I like I say, this is my first note after watching this opener. I just wrote, this is delightfully quirky. Oh, no. As in, I think I might end up liking this. That's not good. I'm not happy about it, but I have to be honest for the people at home. What I really think happened here, Robert Clark Chan, if I may put on my Freud hat for a second, is this is just a litany of puns, a litany of silly jokes. And it's just one after another of absurdity, which is normally exactly your ballpark. But Robert Clark Chan, just a week ago, had a birthday. And I think he's now aged out of puns. Mm. I think he has aged out of quirky, silly, abstract humor. I think it's much like the box on like Monopoly that says fun for ages 9 to 99, and he just turned 100 and said, I don't like this anymore. I think that's what happened to one Robert Clark Chan.
Here's the thing. I think Ray is giving it too much credit and Chan is giving it not enough credit. I'm saying there are ingredients there that I was surprised that I liked. It's not, you know, it's not winning any Emmys, unless I guess they have Christian Emmys. But
I think there's something about worshiping gold idols that's probably not workable there.
There were enough moments in this that, like, you know, I was bored for much of it, but then every once in a while I'd go, huh. All right.
I will say that I found so much of it inoffensive. I was expecting it to be more grating, and it got to the point where it was so inoffensive that I became offended.
Like, it was about right.
It was like, it was so smooth. You're just like, wait a minute, what is even the point of this existing? There's zero.
You just said it. It's so that parents who are terrified of anything offensive being introduced to their children can have something to show them that they don't have to monitor every second. Like, you can probably put on a VeggieTales, and like, I'm guessing the creators of VeggieTales aren't getting too many angry letters, you know, like the Sesame Street folks do, for instance. Right.
And Gina, let me say, you said VeggieTales not going to win any Emmys.
Oh, well,
no.
In 2015, it was nominated, VeggieTales in the House Season 1, as Outstanding Animated Program Emmy Award, did not win. But then in 2017, it was nominated, VeggieTales in the House Season 4, for Outstanding Sound Editing, and it did not win. Oh. But in 2018, VeggieTales in the City, Best Performer in an Animated Program, Tress MacNeil, who is a fantastic vocal artist.
Tress MacNeil, yeah.
Nominated, did not win, has been up for 3 Emmys, but these are all relatively recently. It is only a matter of time till it breaks through.
They hired Tress MacNeil instead of just going with their like niece or whatever.
Yeah, that's very strange.
By the time 2018 happened, they got money.
Yeah, someone was probably like, let's stunt cast. I mean, you got to admire the fact that they are submitting themselves for Emmys year after year. That's not an easy process. Someone has to submit you every year for an Emmy in all of those categories. So I have to assume that the one guy in his garage who does all of VeggieTales is submitting them in every category to every Emmy every year. I like to imagine that he also submits it for best hour-long drama, best miniseries. He's just throwing every veggie at the wall.
Very interesting. So here we go. Outstanding. I just wanted to see who won. They're not listed here. That's weird. Oh, here we go. Outstanding Preschool Animated Program. There were only 3 nominees. VeggieTales in the House, Peg Cat. What is Peg Cat?
PEG, as in?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, crying out loud. It's not about a cat fucking some young boy.
Are you sure? Have you watched it?
I mean, Peg Cat. Maybe the cat's the one getting pegged. I don't know. That is...
It's on PBS Kids, for Christ's sake. You can look it up.
I never thought
when they were creating the show, there'd be 3 comedians sitting at their laptops one day.
Jen, I am not looking up Peg Cat on my laptop. I'm sorry. I'm not falling for your trap here. Safe search on, please. The winner, though, was Tumbleleaf, which I feel like I'm aware of.
That's not a bad show. I really like their animation style.
Is it like the kids' animation version of Deadwood?
I wish. I feel like we did Tumbleleaf on My Three Dads once. We may have. Anyway, That's what it lost to. The point I'm trying to make in all of this is it's getting one. Oh, it's getting one eventually. Now I'm rooting for it.
Yeah, it's going to win. Yeah, like fucking sound editing, like a Jerry Bruckheimer movie or something.
Let's go.
Ray, would you say you're root vegetabling for it?
Wow.
You know what? Yes, I would.
That is a solid joke. It makes sense in the context we have created. We are talking about a show about vegetables, and you have done good work here. That's not something I can say about the writers of this show.
Man, Chan, you sound a little steamed right now.
Are you trying to make a joke about steamed vegetables?
Yes, I am.
That one failed.
Listen,
I think that one worked.
Let's just say one of us is smart enough to write on VeggieTales, and the other one is too smart to write on VeggieTales.
Look, Gina, when you end up landing that sweet, sweet VeggieTales gig, we will be revisiting.
I'll have to scrub this from existence, this podcast from existence.
What do we got? The notion of this episode is that there is night training going on, and one of the nights is called the Sleepless Night. Ah! Come on, everybody.
Oh, I missed that one.
Uh-huh. His name is Sleepless Night, and he's sleeping, which is funny.
Yeah, that is.
And our hero, Duke, goes through this. Apparently, it's an obstacle course. I'm a little confused how night training works, but he gets hit.
Yeah, it's like if you're going on the TV show Wipeout, but you're a knight.
I am curious. Yeah. When this was made, because it has a very Ninja Warrior vibe to it.
Yeah.
And it's also like army training. Like they've got a drill sergeant there shouting at them that this training will save their lives.
It also, have I mentioned 900 times how much I hate this fucking animation?
It's not great. It's fine. This is where we meet my hero, Otis the Elevated, who's like an onion. And he says, I'm going to win the jousting tourney. Hey, Sleepless Knight, charge at me. I'm going to show you how I joust. And then he uses his shiny shield to shine lights in his eyes. So he falls over and runs the wrong way. And then says, yeah, I cheat to win. What about it? Want to fight?
And I did not want to fight. Yeah, I mean, he was the only one. He was the first one to think of this, apparently. So he deserves to win, I guess.
I mean, he's a very well-known, great knight, apparently. But this cuts over to Princess Petunia, who is, they're very poor, despite the fact that she's a princess. We'll talk about that later. She's making either water soup or water sauce. That's what she's making.
Yeah.
They're living in an orchard.
But haven't you ever seen Robin Hood? You can't just steal fruit from an orchard. That's how you get a hand cut off, dude.
Who would know? You're in the forest.
They would know. They used to cut off hands.
I mean, it's worth.
Is that what happened to the arm?
Oh, yeah, no.
I was gonna say, something happened here.
I don't know if it would be less upsetting if they had arms.
It would be very upsetting if they had arms.
I think so. I don't like that they're just handing each other things that float in midair. And they're bending over to pick things up. What are you picking it up with? They're not using their mouths.
Are they doing it because the animation was cheaper or because they originally had arms on them and they're just like, oh God, this is crossing over to some like weird Uncanny Valley thing. We got to get rid of the arms.
I will ask the question that no one else is asking and is important to ask. If they don't have arms, how did they crucify Veggie Jesus? Think about it.
I mean, I feel like Jesus would be like a piece of ginger. So there's like all sorts of like knobs and stuff. And you got,
I could see that.
Okay. Did they handle this on VeggieTales? I'm going to guess no. But now I want to know. Anyway, she's a Rue Barbarian. And yes, I wrote this down because that pun is delightful. And everyone is a dick to her because they're like the other, they're the enemy. See, that's what we're trying to avoid. Unless, you know, you're getting the wrong message from it, which is treat the other poorly.
But they're not a different color. They don't talk differently.
I don't know what makes her
distinguish them as foreign. Which
I did ask that question. What makes them so obviously visibly a Rue Barbarian? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I guess I was going to say like most of the other ones look like they're turnips or like peas or short to the ground things.
No.
Okay. Except for the cucumber.
Yeah,
yeah, but he's not well liked either.
He's well liked. He's not well respected.
Otis has like a buddy or whatever that is some sort of
tomato, right?
No, not the tomato.
Cucumber's friend is the tomato.
Next to him. Who the hell is Otis?
He's the knight who has to get beaten to win the
bang. Oh yeah, he's got like the yeah, a man of the cloth type of.
Yeah, who's also a cucumber.
I guess.
And look, they make a joke. I mean, look, the jokes that landed, I wrote some of these down because he says, do you like that? It's surf music. That's goddamn hilarious.
Oh, surfs like peasants.
Oh, that is really funny.
That's very funny. And I had to write it down. I wrote, God damn it, that's very good.
But yeah, it didn't click with me because like they should have had peasants there playing the music. Then I'd be like, oh, surfs.
I'm picking up jokes that you're not. I'm starting to get worried about you.
These things are so... I don't know, man. I don't know. Did VeggieTales break me? Is that what happened?
I think.
Yeah, I think maybe you're like, I think that you guys, I think that Ray got indoctrinated and you had like the exact opposite response. Your whole brain and body shut down and you cocooned yourself so you couldn't be indoctrinated.
I just, there are so many puns all throughout it. And you being the punster, I really thought there was a shot that you'd be like, you know what? Okay.
No, this but is
apparently
like, this
you
is
didn't
Chan,
pick up any of them.
This is Chan as a pill bug, his only defense against religious propaganda is to roll himself up into a tight little ball and not let any of it in.
Yeah, it's
you say I was indoctrinated. I say the Reapers are our friends. We should open up our civilization to involve the Reapers. That's a Mass Effect joke, Gina. Someday. Someday.
It bothers me that the cucumber's name is Duke Duke.
That's funny.
Oh, it's not. I actually thought it was kind of funny. Like Because later on you get the line where he says to her like, oh, let's drop all formalities. When she's like, oh, hello, Duke, Duke. And he's like, let's drop all formalities. You can just call me Duke. Like, that's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. I thought that was very good.
I just, all I could think of was like, I'm taking two shits. I'm dropping a Duke, Duke.
You know what? That's also funny.
I mean, why wouldn't you like it more then if that's what you're thinking?
Because I know that is not what they were going for. It's not like, let's slip a little fecal humor into the show.
Walking in the door of this episode, I would have not believed that it would consist of me and Gina trying to convince Chan why VeggieTales is pretty solid. You know what? I'm not ready for this reality I'm living in right now.
I'm not calling the entire episode solid. I'm just saying there are ingredients in this vegetable stew.
A lot of good ones. It's a lot of good ones. Look, and we meet Nona.
This is why we don't have Ray and Gina versus Chan episodes.
Rarely do we do this.
They upset the natural order of things and it's confusing for everyone.
I mean, look, I already know I'm in the right because Gina's on my side, so I don't know what to tell you. We meet Nona, who's his second cousin twice removed. And in my head, I went, oh, that means that she would be like two generations away from Princess Petunia. Oh, and she is. That's wild to me. I was loving it. They're going to share the soup. Even though they don't have much, they will share it with the travelers who are coming by. However, Nona's much more shrewd. She's not just doing it to be good. She's doing it because she wants Petunia to hook up with the Duke, who is a noble. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that she is very transparent about it. And it is very much in her interest to push for this. Again, this brought me joy. This brought me a lot of joy.
I got to admit that like when she was saying I'm her mother-in-law, I was putting two and two together and saying like, did she get married young and her husband is dead? That is a real weird subplot, and when they get to it, they really just gloss over it. Like
they sure do.
Because I was like, how are they gonna? How is there something else? Like, and she can't, and the mother-in-law keeps saying like, I'm her mother-in-law. Long story, I'll explain later. And I was like, is it going to be some other weird story that doesn't involve her husband dying? But then no, it's her husband, both of their husbands die.
Yeah.
And now she's ready to be married again, which is a real, I mean, I guess that is the danger when you're reenacting Bible stories is a lot of people die in Bible stories and you somehow have to gloss over it when you're making a children's
look, show. Okay. Because we go back to that. Look, the Duke says you could take all the apples you want from this orchard. Don't be ridiculous. The people walking by are just like hurling racist insults at her, which was wild to me. We do the clumsy bit. They're both equally clumsy and they bump into each other a lot. Adorable.
Like that I was okay with. I was like, okay, this makes sense as a meet cute and, you know, like they're going to get together. Okay, that holds. That hangs together.
I'm into it. And I did like just straight out Duke's like, hey, if you're a princess, why are you so goddamn poor? The fact he just comes out and just blurts that, leading into the backstory of Princess Petunia. She was married to Brian the Prince, who was the son of the king, and he made a golden duck, which got halved, which is the key to the city and the key to the vault. And Brian the Prince ended up going against his father, the king, militarily. And yes, they both died.
No, they
the problem is along the way, the king got ousted, which means that Nona got ousted, who is, you know, the friend to Petunia. She got kicked out of the kingdom, which is how it works. Petunia could have stayed and everybody would have been happy with that. But she said, if Nona's out, I'm out. I'm doing the good thing. I'm going to go with her, my family member, through marriage, and we're going to go be poor in an orchard. That's what happened. It says she gives her key. She notices, give your key to Duke. Give it to him right now. She is on this. She's like, this is my redemption arc. This is how we get out of the streets. This is how we get into the penthouse. Hook up with this man right now. So she gives her key to Duke and then says, Nona's like, they're just like, now you must joust for my honor because Otis, the elevated, the Onion Knight, has the other half somehow. I don't know how he has it. He has the other half. If you beat him in the jousting knight tournament,
because he's the cousin to the original king, and the original
there we go.
King
okay.
gave him half of it. And he was like, what? You don't trust me with the whole thing? And he was like, no, I don't trust you with the
you
whole
know what?
Thing.
Okay. Yep, I do remember that now. There you go. So she can get the vault. This is all leading to money. Nona is transparently trying to get rich. She does not care about the relationship, the people involved. She just wants out of this ghetto. That's what she wants.
It's, yeah, the degree to which she is mercenary like that is kind of concerning.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like people who know what they want and go get it. So he takes the challenge. Duke says, I'm going to go and I'm going to beat the Onion Knight. And then along the way, they have a conversation. They cut straight to the knight tournament. We do not mess around on VeggieTales. We get straight to the wheat. We kick out the chaff. He says, my superpower is I'm nice to people. The Onion Knight Otis says, no, I'm not going to be nice to people. I'm an a-hole. That's who I am. It has gotten me this far. Why would I change? And Duke's like, I'm going to show you. It doesn't really play out that way per se, but like that's the message is get big, get rich, be a Duke, love the Lord. And be kind. VeggieTales could have spent $14 million on Super Bowl commercials.
They're going to be washing feet and shit.
Yeah. Well, they can't wash feet because nobody has legs.
Made with what looks like the worst AI I've ever seen.
It was, look, I'm just glad everybody hated it, even though it was all for different reasons. Like, the super devout hated it. They said, look, I don't.
Oh, yeah, because they showed all types. They showed all kinds.
They showed Jesus providing acts of charity. And certain factions of the religious movements on certain TV networks were like, what the F is this nonsense? That's not what he's about. Which is odd. Which is an odd thing to say out loud. Because that's like the only thing he's about in the book.
As was my understanding, yes.
So, guys, I don't know. It was interesting. What a game. Should have had the Lions in it, but we're not gonna talk about that.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Another Tyco Superblocks adventure. You've got to capture the enemy command post. Looks like a job for Tyco Superblocks. You have to strike hard, so you build the combat tank, the half-track, the mauler, and the rocket launcher. You send in your fast attack vehicle, then the attack chopper for support. You break through. You've won, and you've done it. Another great adventure with Superblocks. They work with Lego, too. Tyco Superblocks, military adventure series. 10 building sets, each sold separately. New from Tyco.
Back to G.I. Joe.
So we're at the tournament.
Hold on. I just want
yes.
sit in your pain a little longer.
Nope. I'm ready to move on. We've had a commercial break. We're feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm fine. Stop checking in on me. I'm fine. Now, they refer to this as a knight jousting tournament. So I just assumed, yeah, we're going to joust and then we're done. No. First round is an obstacle course.
Yeah, they did call it jousting. And I mean, I guess we get there eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. But this is not that. This is Wipeout.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Otis sets a brand new record. He beats his previous time. He does it in like 26 seconds or something, which is fantastic. And Duke gets his absolute ass kicked by every single obstacle, but perseveres to the end and at least finishes, albeit with a loss. And he gets beat. Like, that is savage.
So is the point here to win the best 2 out of 3 challenges?
Yes, which is weird that they would put the joust of the jousting tournament last, because in theory you might never get there.
This is sort of, again, my issue here is that it just feels like they put that there to fill time, or because like, oh, I got a great gag that's like, you know, it's like a game show and they're doing the thing, and then we'll do this thing with Abbott and Costello that doesn't make sense for it to be there.
It's fine. I liked it. Look, again, as Gina said, we're introducing children to a famed comedy bit of Abbott and Costello, and I think that's always a good thing. Yeah. Because the second one, oh my goodness, the second event is a trivia. It's a mind game questionnaire. Smarts time. It's smarts time, but this time with catapults. And they literally ask like a story question based on three characters, like a, what is it? Like a prince, a king, and a queen, about like which order did they make the boats or something. And then the joke of it all is that one of their name is like who's on, and the other's like, I don't know. And so they do the who's on first Abbott and Costello bit, and which the Duke gets it right, but for all the wrong reasons, which is abjectly hilarious.
Yeah, I like that it's purposely confusing. No kid is going to sit there and be like, what is this? But it sort of, you know, it's not great, but it was a nice moment where I was like, huh, wow, this is a sophisticated joke for kids in a weird religious cartoon.
And what I thought was weird is that Duke answers it first and gets it right. And then they ask Otis the same set of questions and he gets it wrong.
And then he gets flung Monty Python Holy Grail style.
Yeah.
But he's sitting right next to Duke, who just answered it right.
But that's why he gets it wrong, because he doesn't know what's going on. Like, yeah, because it's all weird. Very confusing. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny to see a vegetable get flung, I guess.
I mean, look, I found it hilarious. I enjoyed it. I was into it. You fling a pompous onion into like a pile of poop or whatever the heck it was, and I'm in. So the third contest, here we go. Best of three. The actual jousting. And they joust with pies on the end of their lances. Because no one's getting skewered today.
Sure.
And they what's wild here is that the tomato companion of Duke the Cucumber, they're at the top of the ramp. This is like a skate ramp, a skateboard ramp, where you roll, and they're on horses on like wheels. They're like fake horses. And I think so. And they go down the skate ramp towards each other, then up the ramp again, right? You know what I'm talking about, the half pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wild is we're in this scenario after everything that's been done, and the tomato companion turns to the Duke the Cucumber and says, if you backed out right now, no one would think less of you. What are you even talking about?
I mean, he knows. He's like, he's looking out for him. He's trying to get him to save face.
If you're the quarterback of the Super Bowl and the game is tied 20-20 and there's 5 minutes to go, you don't want to have like the coach turn to the star quarterback and say, man, if you just want to take yourself out of the game right now, no one would think less. Everyone would think less of you. You got to the end. You're in a position to win. Why would you quit then?
I mean, if it were me, I'd be like, yo, I just read this thing called the Bible and I'm pretty sure you're in it. You don't come out well here. Mm. You should leave now.
Okay, that's fair.
It's only going to get worse.
Okay, you know what? Given that, yeah, I'm into it. You know, she's a barbarian. I just wrote here, everybody, you know, nobody likes Petunia. You know, she's just a barbarian. Who cares? Dude, like, we're boning. It's cool, man. So he says, we're going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through with it, because of course he does. Which is wild. All the crowd is cheering for Otis. And then Otis pulls that move, essentially, like, from the end scene of Coco, where the heroic, beloved villain, like, basically says, I hate everybody and only care about myself. And then the crowd immediately turns on him. I did think it was funny that those four members of the audience had OTIS on, like, cards they were holding up. And then once Otis shows his onion ass, they immediately flip the cards over to say D-U-K-E.
No, it's even better than that. They're wearing clothes. It's like the equivalent of like body paint. And then they flip their shirts around or something.
Wait, what?
Which tells me walking in the door, they were ready to flip. Wait, they are front runners and I hate them.
Were they not wearing clothes? It really was cards?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Why? Jesus Christ. Okay, look.
Am I the only one who was able to follow VeggieTales?
I don't feel as bad now.
I just forget the details.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing. Ray let himself get indoctrinated. Chan rolled up like a pill bug. I let some of it in, but not all of it.
I just get flashes.
Gina, to really be one with VeggieTales, you have to let it in.
You have to give yourself over to the VeggieTales.
Yeah, you have to devote your life to the VeggieTales. And really, what's it hurt, Gina, at the end of the day? If you just accept the VeggieTales, isn't that so much better than not accepting the VeggieTales and having to maybe live with those consequences? Just say you love the VeggieTales. That's all you have to do.
I hate all of this.
Recognize this logical fallacy.
I hate all of this.
Let's just call it a wager, you know. Let's take a shot, you know. Anyway, they go back and forth, and two times they clash on the joust, and nothing happens. It's a push, so we're fine with there. And then the third time, oh, the irony! Otis gets distracted and looks up at the stands where the sun is beaming off of the necklace that Petunia, the duck piece that she has, he is blinded at the moment of contact, just like he was going to do to other people, but apparently forgot that that was his plan going into the final round, now that I think about it, because he does not try that move at all. But he himself gets blinded. Duke stomps him. Duke wins. We immediately cut to them merging the duck together. I think we can put that together. One end's a key and one end's a lock, if you know what I'm saying. Ho, ho.
Yowza.
And then we immediately cut to them getting married. And then once they put the duck together, what does it do? It lays a bejeweled golden egg. So they're rich again. Although Duke was never not rich, so I'm not really sure why he needs this treasure. What it does for him, he is never poor.
For some reason I thought like there was going to be a vault with riches or something like that.
Yes.
Also, it seems like how long a trip would take here, you know, but like, it seems like the princess could probably go back to her castle and be like, I'm just going to pack a backpack of a bunch of money and then I'm going to go back to my hovel in the woods.
Well, she could live in a castle now with the Duke.
Yeah, I'm saying like it didn't seem to occur to her before the Duke happened that she should maybe go back home, steal some things that are rightfully hers anyway. And
like food.
Yeah. But then again, maybe a trip takes an entire lifetime back then.
Is that like a metaphor or something?
No, I think I was just watching someone's stand-up comedy where they were talking about like how it was wild that you would take one trip in your lifetime during like the Oregon Trail days. Like it would be like, well, 7 years later, we're here. We can't ever go anywhere else. Half of us died.
Here's the thing. Like if left to my own devices, that would be me today. I'd be like, well, I'm here in my house. Why would I go to another place that is not my house?
Yeah.
Like for a day? Longer than a day? What? Like I'll go to the Ralph's and pick up some eggs, but I ain't going somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm getting this garage set up in my new house. And I'm getting it set up to be a one-stop place I would never want to leave. Mm-hmm. And Chan, you've seen it. You've seen the work in progress. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
I understand that impulse.
Yes.
Something that my partner does not. They're like, why are you like ensconcing yourself? Why are you building up basically walls around the desk? I'm like, it's because I need a hidey hole.
Yes.
I don't know.
And this is what shocked me is you went to England and then came home for like 10 days and then immediately jet set it out to New Orleans.
Yeah. Go ahead and ask me who planned those trips, who initiated those trips, who did all of the work. 'Twas not I.
No, no part of me thought that you did any of the work for that. So rest easy, Robert Clark Chan. I was not fooled.
The fact that I was like, yes, I will do this thing. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to be all like, ugh, this food tastes weird. Ugh, this place is cold. I was very polite. And you know what? I learned a thing or two. But my natural state is wherever my ass is currently.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, and there will come a time. A depending on who you ask, a very delightful or a very sad time where I will just be in here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be great.
You mean like you're going to be dead and Melissa is going to put your shoebox of ashes in the garage?
Oh, man. What you know what? If you got to go.
Make sure to do like a little handprint in the clay too, so that we have one of those put up on the mantle.
That's a great point.
It's just a giant oafish handprint.
Look, I got my record player, my new record player set up in here. I got a giant 5x5 Kallax for board games.
I mean,
look,
you know what realistically is probably going to happen is you're going to spend more and more time there. One day you're going to have a massive cardiac event.
Oh, huge.
And yeah. Like 3 days later, Melissa's going to be like, all right, I guess he's been in there long enough. And she's going to open the door and you are, and rigor mortis is going to have set in.
Yep. Oh, Jeannie, you make it sound so good. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm just in here listening to my G.I. Joe record. Oh,
is that the only record you have, Ray?
It's one of very few. But I'm definitely listening to it. Look, I got my Alan Wake record. I got my Silent Hill record. I understand my Final Fantasy music records. Yes, I will be in here listening to sad video game music. It's going to be wonderful.
I can't wait.
You guys, when this thing gets set up, let's make it happen. Anyway, that is VeggieTales, a show that me and Gina absolutely loved. Gina especially, huge fan. Oh, and Robert Clark Chan just didn't get it. He just didn't understand. Went over his head.
Not a fan.
That's a shocker.
It went under my head is the problem.
Caught you right in the neck.
Yeah.
How upsetting. Gina, any final thoughts on VeggieTales?
I'm going to forget about this in about 20 minutes after we finish this. And a year from now, I'm probably going to say to at least one of you, we never did a VeggieTales.
Oh, my God. Yep. That is accurate. And then we're going to go back and listen to this episode, and somehow Eileen Mary O'Connell will be the third person on this episode.
Did we record this while Gina was in New York doing Murphy Brown?
That's wild. I don't understand what happened here. I swear to God, I thought Gina was on this episode. But the proof is otherwise. Oh, what good times. And Robert Clark Chan did this, so this did not convert you to whatever strain of Christianity that VeggieTales is trying to convert you to.
Nor did it convert me to vegetable-based animations.
Interesting. Okay.
I am not a fan of any of this. Somehow it made me like puns less, which I did not think was possible, and it is very distressing.
And for the record, you didn't think it was possible, not because you hate puns already so much, but because you love them and think it could never be shaken.
That's what I thought. I'm a dad now. I'm finally in my zone. I'm like, this is, they made a term specifically for like old dudes who like puns.
Yeah.
And now that joy is being taken from me and I blame Jesus.
You know, it's true. If you read your Bible, Jesus was there. He came out of the tomb after 3 days on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And all the people there were gathered. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, I am the living proof of the resurrection.
Yeah.
No more goddamn puns.
Did he say goddamn? I feel
weirdly enough, it was really on the nose for the moment.
Yeah.
And then people were shocked, and then Doubting Thomas came over and said, look, I want to believe, man. I want to believe. But, let me just ask you, Jesus, if I doubt your resurrection, will you be cross with me? And Jesus just looked at him and said, you cut that shit out right now.
He's like, too soon, bro. Too soon.
Yeah. No puns, a-hole.
You can hear this, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Ooh. Woo.
You mean the greatest thing ever written? Yes, I can hear it.
I hope that you're not joking and that you just absolutely fucking love this thing.
We'll talk about it.
Sounds like Ray did love it.
Everybody's being all super cagey, like, oh shit.
It's because we know if we tip our hand, someone's gonna be a contrarian.
Well, you say somebody, but we know who you're referring to.
I mean, here's the thing. I have my own opinions before we go in, so ain't none of you shifting me.
Oh, I know you have your opinions, and then you have what you say on the show based on what we do.
I guess we're going to have to find out.
I guess so.
I was waiting.
I know. You want it too badly. I don't want to do it now. This is like you with Thunderdome.
Oh, no. I mean, I was waiting to jump on you so that I would ruin your entrance.
Wait, you were waiting to jump on my entrance?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.